Good Thursday morning, everybody. It is the Georgia Show. I'm Jake Rowe. He's Palmer Toms, and we are from Dogs HQ. There's a game this week, and it's Thursday. We're finally getting to it, which is kind of crazy. I mean, it's a National Signing Day. We obviously got to talk transfer portal this week. We don't make the rules. You readers do. And when you read transfer portal content like you do, we're going to write it for you. So it's been a busy, busy week. It was a busy, busy day yesterday. I'm tired of seeing myself on camera, and I'm sorry that you all do too. That's why we got Palmer on here. He is the face, the baby face of Dogs HQ whenever he shaves, and he's looking good today. So, Palmer, we got to talk Georgia, Texas, and I look at this matchup, man. And I love the matchup for Georgia going into the first thing, into the first round. We're going to get to those matchups, and I loved it the first time. But in terms of this game, and it just – it doesn't feel like a rematch, really. It doesn't feel like there's a bunch of buildup or anything between these two teams. And that's been odd to me.
Yeah, I think the reason that it feels like there's not necessarily – like there's no rematch factor is – you know, I feel like, and Jake, you would have a better assessment of that 2017 SEC championship, but I definitely feel like, you know, that 2021 national championship, the team that won the regular season game dominated, or I guess it was the first game. It was an SEC championship game in 21. It was a regular season game in 17. They dominated. And everybody kind of expected that to stay the same. I feel like, you know, I remember that 21 national championship. Everyone was like, well, Georgia stands no chance. You know, Georgia stands no chance against this team because they just whooped our you know what. I don't feel like that is the case here. Georgia having won that first game, everybody's still counting out Georgia. You know, they're not necessarily looking at the regular season winner, you know, despite a 5-2 record in SEC championships when there's been a rematch. Despite the fact that Kirby Smart is 2-0 in rematches, I think everyone's looking at it and saying, well, you know, to hell with the first game, who cares what happened then? You know, we still suck and we're not gonna, they're still better than us, regardless of what the scoreboard said that night. So to me, I think that that's why it doesn't necessarily feel like it's a rematch, because there's just a weird feeling about, you know, this Georgia team in general, and that, you know, what happened in October, you know, heck, what happened last week has no sort of tell on what is going to happen this Saturday. I mean, talk me through that 21 championship and 17 championship and kind of what you remember through those.
Yeah, it's just tough because you're talking about it from the other side now. Which I don't have the frame of reference for, hey, Georgia won a regular season battle, but then they've got to play them again. You know, that hasn't happened. I mean, 2003 SEC championship game, Georgia goes to LSU. They lose in a heartbreaker. They just get stomped. I mean, they were competitive in the SEC championship game, but LSU was clearly the better team. LSU got better as the season went along. Georgia got banged up and got a little worse. I think Georgia's playing better now than it was playing when it got to Texas. I think that's fair. And a lot of that's been at home. Has Carson Beck been able to gather up some confidence from a few home games in a row to kind of steady some things? I don't know. He's played some solid football in that building. Not great football, but
But it's not like he's going into a true road atmosphere here. I mean, heck.
True, exactly. And he didn't at Florida either, but he played terribly there. You know, he didn't at Florida either, but he played real bad there. So, ultimately, I look at it as, despite the fact that the trash was thrown onto the field and the way all of that went down, there was no animosity coming out of that game. There wasn't a shoving match or a weird handshake or a we beat the dog crap out of them. Texas. I don't think Texas was demoralized like Alabama did Georgia in that SC. That was supposed to be a coronation. I remember Michael Casagrande, who works for AL.com, He covers Alabama, or covered Alabama for a long time. I think he might be doing a little bit more Auburn stuff now. But I remember him coming up to me before that SEC championship game as the team was on the field warming up. We were in the press box, and he goes, and this was in 2021, and he said, hey, this isn't an SEC championship game. This is Georgia's coronation. Like, you know, they're kind of handing the crown off here. This is the dominant team. And then Georgia jumps out to a lead, and Alabama just steals their soul away from them. I don't know that rematch or frustration or revenge had anything to do with Georgia winning a national championship that year, because it took them three quarters for any of that to come out, because they were in trouble for a large portion of that game. So I look at that record, and it's counterintuitive. 5-2, the regular season winner has won the SEC championship rematch. So the thing that I've done all week, Palmer, is I've taken it as we may think it's extremely tough to do, but the numbers don't bear that out. So what are we to take from it? It's very possible to win a rematch.
Well, and Kirby Smart has shown that it's possible, you know, to win a rematch.
Being on the losing side the first time.
You got the numbers there give you a little bit of both sides here of – you know, hey, you could have confidence as the loser coming in to win a rematch. Kirby Smart's 2-0. Hey, you're Georgia. You won the previous game. Numbers say 5-2. There's the math doesn't, you know, really tell you anything.
No, it doesn't. It's just possible is all it does. It's just, hey, that's, listen, based on what we've seen, it's very possible to win two in a row against a team. The thing that sucks is if Georgia loses, they're on a crash course to play three out of four, or three times this year, two out of three. Mm-hmm. So, you know, they'll be on a crash course to maybe meet in the SEC championship game. And I don't think anybody wants to see that. I can't imagine anybody would. But, yeah, this rematch, it just doesn't feel like – I don't know. It just doesn't seem to have that – it really feels a lot like that 2003 SEC championship game, to be honest with you. It's like, yeah, they beat you, but there was no friction. There was no anchor point where you're kind of like, oh yeah, they embarrassed that team, and they've been thinking about this all season, the chance to get back and do this.
So that 2003 one, it's LSU. That's a team on the West. You don't see them all that often. There's no real built up animosity. In fact, I think, you know, I've heard several Georgia fans say, you know, hey, if there's another SEC team out there that I like, it's kind of LSU. Obviously, there's a lot of built-up animosity with the rivalry of Georgia-Auburn. Obviously, the results of everything that had happened between Georgia and Alabama and everything that has continued to happen between Georgia and Alabama has built up a rivalry there. There's not really anything here for Georgia-Texas to go back on. So, you know, going to your point there about that there's no real animosity, there wasn't really any animosity between these two teams going into that first game. I mean, it's two good football teams.
I guess I just come back to typically when you've got a rematch, there's a storyline there. And this is about as empty as a rematch storyline gets.
Two good football teams, but no historical hatred.
Yeah, two good football teams that ran into each other a few months ago. One team won. It kind of disappeared. People pretty much forgot about that Georgia team by the time they lost to Ole Miss. That Georgia team was a distant memory. Then, it showed up for three quarters against Tennessee. How about it? And so then it's back. And then they go back into hiding for a couple of weeks, these past couple of weeks, at least until the fourth quarter against Tech. And then, you know, found a way to scratch one out. Well, will Georgia kind of make that bounce back is kind of the bigger story, you know, for me.
Tune in and see, 4 p.m. Eastern, ABC.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. And yeah, no doubt. What to make of this injury report I think Trevor Etienne's got a chance to play. I think Christian Miller's got a chance to play. I think Kirby's been, as far as the guys he's listed on the injury report, I think they've been pretty straightforward. I mean, listen, they didn't play any games with Trevor Etienne against Florida. They put him on there as questionable because he was questionable after that Wednesday practice. And then after Thursday's practice, they knew he wasn't going. They put him on there with a couple of days to prepare. So I don't think they're playing too many games with it. I think they genuinely believe that Etienne and Christian Miller have a chance to play. And if I had to say today, I would say Etienne has a better shot of playing in a limited role, I would imagine, than Christian Miller. What's that?
Was that Tennessee week you're talking about there? All that timeline? Because he wasn't banged up going into Florida.
That's right. Not the Florida game, the Tennessee week. Yeah, the very following week was, he was, it was after, it wasn't Florida, it wasn't Ole Miss. It was actually after Ole Miss. Yeah, it was 2 weeks. But yeah, he got hurt in the Florida game. He gave it a go in the Ole Miss game. And then that first Wednesday report came out, and I believe he was still questionable. And then the Thursday report came out, and he was out. And he was out for everything else.
The weirdest thing to me about ETN is that Kirby on Sunday said, hey, he's still a ways away. So, and I get it from a gamesmanship standpoint. You know, I don't really know a running back and you know, when you've got somebody like Nate Frazier that has a similar skill set and can do a lot of the Trevor Etienne type things, I don't really know how you change your preparation based on is Trevor Etienne going to play versus is he not going to play. It's not a quarterback in that way. It's not a, you know, dynamic wide receiver in that way. I think a lot of defending a running back is just, hey, let's line up and let's play him. Especially when you've got a defense as talented as Texas. So I don't really know what a gamesmanship standpoint would do for Georgia to say, you know, to try to get Texas thinking, oh, he's going to play. We got to prepare for him. So I don't know. I guess that's me saying, I'm a little surprised that he's listed as questionable after Kirby said on Sunday he's a ways away, but I don't really know what incentive Georgia would have to play games with the injury report there would be.
Yeah, on Sunday, I would imagine with them having Saturday and most of Sunday off, I would imagine he just was speaking from a point of maybe an educated guess there. But I still think that it's still a 50-50 proposition that he plays. But the intel we gathered on Sunday, what's that?
It's also just a pain tolerance thing. It's not like he could be playing football. It's not like he's incapable of playing football.
I don't know. Like, I don't know the extent of it's the thing. I don't know that it's just a pain tolerance. Yeah. I mean, that's what we were told in the beginning. And then I think it might've gotten a little bit worse, and that's why he was ruled out for Tennessee. But either way, we do know that, and we've reported that Trevor Etienne wants to play, that he's kind of scratching to get back for this game. And it could be a situation. I remember DeAndre Swift had a shoulder in the 2019 SEC championship game. Georgia got him a few touches. Maybe they could get him involved there, get him involved in a little bit of a decoy situation. I don't know. I will say that this year has been so tough because there have been guys that have come back from injury faster than we thought they would, and they've been more productive, and they've played more snaps than we thought they would in certain games. And there have been guys that haven't done anything near. Yeah, there haven't been anything near. There have been other instances where nobody's done anything near what we expected and what we were told kind of going into it. And so it's one of those things that it really does in a lot of these instances. And I know folks don't realize it. But if you watch what's going on in warmups, you can watch it happen. You can watch a kid go out there like a Jeremiah Hall. He'll go out there and he'll do it. Oh, not Jordan Hall. He would go out there and do his thing for a little bit. And then he'd go talk to a trainer and he'd go talk to an assistant D-line coach. He'd take his gloves off and he'd be done. All right. And you knew he wasn't going to go that day. You can see that happen regularly on down there. And I knew Dylan Bell was going to play in the game because he goes out there, runs a couple of routes, goes to James Coley. He's shaking his head and tightens his gloves up and gets back out there. So I do think that this, a lot of these things are going to be game time decisions. Some of these guys are going to do their best to try and work through this and give Georgia a few of those snaps that it needs to get through this game. Palmer?
Before we get to Prize Picks, one more thing on ETN. I wonder, I think in this situation, I do wonder how much you've got to think about the fact that Georgia is probably, 99% positive that it's playing another football game, another very significant football game, whether that is a Sugar Bowl after a bye or a first round game. So I do wonder how much you would think about, you know, whether it's as a decoy or just not playing him at all. I do wonder how much you would think about, hey, let's save him and know that we're going to need him. You know, we can have him healthier with another 3 weeks or 4 weeks, whatever that may be, you know, in a playoff situation, as opposed to pushing it for him to get out there right now.
Yeah, that's a factor. I'm sure that's something they're going to consider. Prize Picks, what we got this week? Do we have a Georgia slate here? We have a Georgia-Texas slate. We got a good little
We do have buffet. A Georgia-Texas slate. There is a lot of Georgia-Texas out there. So prize picks can be a really fun way to play and stay involved in this game, even more than you already are. Because we know if you're watching this show, you are fully invested in Georgia football. And if you want to get invested a little bit more, prize picks is a really fun way to do that. First play of $5, use promo code DOGS, and you will get $50, win or lose. We've done a lot of losing, but the winning is a lot more fun. And I think that we might right here have a winner. Carson Beck, 1.5 passing touchdowns. He had 5 last week. Now, yes, he did need 2 overtime periods to add 2 to that total, but 3 in regulation, that would do it for us here. I'm going more on 1.5 passing touchdowns. Nate Frazier, we talk about Trevor Etienne. We talk about him being banged up. Nate Frazier has been a huge part of this Georgia offense, regardless of whether Etienne plays or not. I think 58.5 rushing yards, I like more for Nate Frazier. Oscar Delp, 15.5 receiving yards. He's been a big target for Carson Beck. He's scored touchdowns in each of the last 3 games. Georgia's tight ends had a little bit of success there against Texas last time. Maybe not necessarily in the numbers.
Two guys, including Oscar Delp, had catches of more than 15.5 yards. Lawson Lucky and Oscar Delp both had catches longer than 15.5 yards. So talking about one play there with how Georgia's been creating chunks with the tight ends.
And Ben Jurosik was getting open in that game. I mean, he was, you know, they were pushing it downfield to him. I mean, it resulted in an interception, but, you know, Georgia did make an effort to push the ball downfield to him. I think that they like their tight ends matchups here. So 15.5 receiving yards for Oscar Delp. We are going more on that. In terms of Texas, to add in a little bit of a Texas flair, Quintrevion Wisner, 18.5 rushing, longest rush. I'm going less. He's been right around that number. It's a good number, I will say. But I think that, you know, and nothing that we've seen from Georgia says that they're going to bottle up the run really well. But, you know, I do think 18.5 is a longer run. I think that, you know, in terms of the way that Georgia is able to defend the run, it's a lot easier when you don't really have to account for a quarterback being a big part of that run game. I think Georgia can bottle up the run, at least the long explosive runs. So I'm going less on 18.5 rushing yards for the longest rush for Quintrevion Wisner. So, but prize picks, really fun way to stay involved in the games. We've had a lot of fun doing it this year, last year, over the years. And you too can get involved. Use promo code DAWGS, DAWGS, for $50 on your first play of 5, win or lose. So we encourage you to get involved with prize picks. They're a great partner to us and a really fun way to stay involved in these games.
All right, Palmer, between this and the last matchup, what's changed for these two teams? Who's playing better? Who's playing worse? I'll tell you this. All of this chatter about – and I want everybody to understand, like, I'm not trying to talk about Texas in a disrespectful, they're not very good way. I think Texas is really good. But all of this talk about how Texas has kind of gone one way and Georgia's gone another way since they've played – it's because of one game, and it's the Ole Miss game. Georgia has played and beat a better team than Tennessee has, I mean, than Texas has since they played, and that was Tennessee. It's also had to deal with Ole Miss. Texas has not played a single team that is currently ranked in the top 25, other than Georgia, of the college football playoff rankings. What's that now?
A&M is out of the
25. Actually, yeah, I guess A&M was the lone one. I was looking. I had that written down, I guess, before this past weekend. I don't think they're out, but they might be with the 4th loss. Either way, they haven't beat anybody in the top 20, I don't think.
A&M is – goodbye.
Where are we at on the Aggs? They're out. So no team ranked in the top 25 right now. So – I don't buy this narrative that Texas has done this and that Georgia's done this. I watched Texas struggle with Arkansas. I watched Texas struggle with Vanderbilt. I watched Texas struggle with A&M turnover-wise. They moved the ball between the 20s all they wanted to, but they turned it over twice in the red zone. And then, you know, they look great against Florida. They really did. I mean, I think they deserve a lot of credit. Definitely looked better than Georgia did against Florida when they got them there. Kentucky game was a little bit of a struggle. They couldn't pull away. And Georgia struggled with Kentucky too. I totally get it. But I just feel like this Texas team is more consistent, but just as vulnerable as Georgia is. And I'm fascinated to see, because I think Texas can go in there and play a good ball game, and I think Georgia can go in there and play a good ball game, and I think Georgia wins. And that's the way I kind of look at these two teams. And I know that Georgia won't be able to replicate exactly what happened and win the exact same way, or probably even close to that same way. But I don't necessarily know that Texas is going to be able to replicate the mistakes it got from Georgia, because, listen, Georgia turned it over twice in that game before Texas ever turned it over once, okay? Georgia was -2 before they ever got a turnover in that game, and it was nothing. So the defense didn't just force the turnovers. They also kind of, you know, kept the offense at bay. So I mean, kept the offense and lifted them up. So what's going to happen in this game if the offense kind of meets the challenge and runs an efficient kind of, I don't want to say safe, but an efficient ball protecting offense where they don't turn it over and where they do convert in some of those situations where they didn't the first time around.
Yeah. I mean, I totally agree with you there on the fact that, you know, you look at this Georgia offense and they have shown signs of being better. You know, they've definitely shown signs of struggle. But I think that they've shown a lot that you like it since then. You know, I think that really, you know, since Carson, like you said earlier, Carson got home, Carson got confident, Carson Beck is playing really good football right now. You know, he's not putting it in harm's way. He's not, you know, I mean, I would be shocked if we see a 3-turnover game from Carson Beck.
Yeah, I would too.
I think that when you talk about that, you Georgia had some success moving the ball there. I mean, one of those turnovers came in the red zone. You know, that interception that went off of Lawson Lucky's hands. I just think that Carson Beck is playing better football, safer football, cleaner football. And I think that, you know, they've found the guys around him. Now, you know, I see Uncle Glenn, you know, over under 4 drops by the wideouts. Look, the wideouts are going to drop the ball.
They're going to drop passes Saturday, period. They're going to drop passes this Saturday. I mean, maybe not.
They're probably going to be really frustrating drops. But I think that Georgia has found a way to, you know, I think Georgia's offense is not perfect. They've got the drop problem. But I think you'd much rather have a drop problem than a turnover problem.
Yeah.
Because you're giving yourself
I think one of the things – I almost wonder if the turnover problem hasn't gotten better. Again, knowing being back home helps, but I almost wonder if the turnover problem hasn't gotten better because Beck has just kind of gotten himself to a mental place on the drops. Like, all right, listen, it happened. I threw an inaccurate pass over here, and you know, didn't give him a chance. That's my drop.
Yeah, I think that that's. You know, we talked to him earlier this week, and he was asked about the drops, and he's like, look, I make mistakes. They make mistakes. We're not perfect. But what are we going to do? Not throw the ball. So I think that, you know, you're right there. And I think that I felt all along that a lot of his issues were him pressing, him trying to make too many plays. And yeah. What brings on him pressing, him probably feeling like his receivers aren't giving him any help. So I think that, you know, in now he said, you know, and he says, look, you look at the comebacks we've had and, you know, the really strong play that we've had at times this year, those receivers have been a big part of it. You know, so I've just got to keep giving it to them, keep giving them their chances, and they're going to make their plays. You know, I think that in a way, you're right. Carson probably has accepted that the drops are going to happen, you know, in the same way that I just said, look, they're going to happen. Georgia's going to drop the ball. But I think that if you're Carson and you're not putting the ball, you know, feeling like you've got to put put the ball in harm's way because of and try to make a play on your own because you don't trust your receivers to make a play. If you just accept that, you know, hey, I'm going to throw this ball to them and maybe he drops it, maybe he doesn't. But if he drops it, we've got another play. If he drops it on first down, we've got second down. If I throw an interception on first down, I'm going back to the bench and our defense is coming on the field. I think that there has been a understanding of and probably an acceptance of what Georgia's passing game is, you know, and that if you live to see another day because you aren't throwing it away and to the other team and you know, it does turn into a drop, that's okay. And I think that that's probably part of, you know, in general, why I think Georgia's offense is playing a little bit better right now. And why I would be surprised if we see that kind of game from the offense. Now, in terms of the defense, they got to stop the run. But I think that, you know, and Jake, you've pointed this out. You pointed it out before the first Texas game. But Quinn Ewers is a quarterback that I don't know that he scares Georgia in the same way that a Jalen Milroe absolutely does.
He can scramble on you. I mean, I think if you man coverage and he'll break out the back door like Carson Beck will and grab, you know, a first down and run for some yards. And that's what I believe Arch Manning did once in the first game. And I think Quinn Ewers might have done it one time too. It's hard to tell because of the sacks, because Georgia had so many of those and they took his yardage negative. But when you don't have a designed run quarterback threat, and even if it's Arch Manning, right? Listen, Arch is a really good athlete. I get it. But Arch is a zone read quarterback, right? Like if you want to do something design run, you're going to run zone read with Arch Manning. Or you may run quarterback power, but it's short yardage. Like Haynes King for Tech, that was a second and eight play for them because Haynes King is a physical inside runner that they're comfortable with him putting his shoulder on somebody and doing those things. I don't think they're going to run either one of those quarterbacks like that. And if they do, they do. You'll have to adjust. But I just don't think that Texas presents the same problems that other teams do. The one place Texas does do something that gives Georgia trouble in the run game, and they never got to it, and it didn't work when they did, is outside zone. And Texas is a little bit of an outside zone team, outside, inside zone, bread and butter. And Texas's offense, for all the love that the defense is getting, and kind of blows my mind that of all the hate that Georgia's offense was getting under Stetson Bennett, that offense has really had to rely on the run game here lately. I mean, you know, Trey Wisner? That's it, Trey Wisner. He's had what is it? Something like 29 carries a game, 27 carries a game the last two games. It's 50-something carries for over 300 yards. They really have leaned on him. But he came into this last game against Georgia red hot too. 10 carries for 113 or 130 or something against Oklahoma. I like Georgia to match up better with this run game. Now, there's a good question out here that I definitely want to check out. Justin Mulford says, what about their left tackle? And he's talking about Kelvin Banks Jr. Is he going to be able to start? Don't know about that. He's questionable. He is their only questionable player. They've got four players out. Three of them are running backs like Georgia. They got three running backs hurt too.
Some of those were preseason outs.
Yeah, preseason. Christian Clark, CJ Baxter were both preseason injuries, and then the other one got hurt early in the year. They're all done for the season. But Kelvin Banks is their only questionable player. Let me tell you something about offensive linemen, though, and what I have learned this football season. When offensive linemen are banged up and questionable and missing practice time, it is very, very tough for them to be themselves on Saturday. I've seen that with several Georgia offensive linemen throughout this season. We'll see how it is for them, too. It's definitely not going to help them if he misses that game. They had the home field advantage kind of the first time and the crowd noise and the cadence, snap count, all that stuff. And Georgia dominated them then too. So we'll see if Georgia can kind of beat them up front like that this time. I don't expect it to be as decisive no matter what. NFHS, we are in the third round, I believe it is, of the high school football state playoffs. Maybe it's the semifinals. Semifinals. I couldn't remember. I knew we got pushed back. I just weren't sure if we got called up. So we are in the semifinals of the high school state playoffs in the state of Georgia. Justice Terry is in action. You'll get a chance to watch him. He's, you know, he's still out there. Georgia's trying to add him on Friday. If they do, they'll probably end up with the number two or at worst the number three class in the country. So he's involved. Palmer, who else is going to be on NFHS this week? Who else is still involved in those playoffs?
So this is I've gotten it, and I couldn't figure out why I couldn't go to Georgia specific. There might be too few games. But this is a national look at the football that is out there. You got state championships in Tennessee, you know, right here, Nashville Christian. If you want to get a look ahead at 2026, you got a big one there with Jared Curtis and Nashville Christian. Baylor McCauley, Tennessee, that is a really big game. You know, you get down to Georgia, that's the Thursday night action. You get down to Georgia and some Friday night action. I saw Carrollton and they play in Grayson. Hold on, it was down here. Carrollton Buford is playing. Langston Hughes, you know, that you got a Georgia commit, Georgia signee there. You know, you look around, where else do you see Georgia games? Fitzgerald and Northeast Macon, Lee County Milton. That is a big one. And a couple of Georgia signees there with C.J. Wiley and Ethan Barber. You know, you got Rockmart.
There's a lot of stuff on there. There are a ton of games there. Go check it out. NFHS, use GoDogs 25 and save 25% off of your first month. Listen, you can see other sports. You can see volleyball. You can see softball. You can check it all out. Obviously, we love it for the football. There's so much different, so many different ways to watch so many different high school sports. It's phenomenal. We love it. And go check out NFHS. It's a wonderful thing to support as well. All right, Palmer. Predictions. How differently does this thing play out than the first time? Georgia going to lose this one? Georgia lose the rematch, Palmer?
I think so.
Yeah?
I think they do. Now, I'll preface all this with saying I picked Texas to win that first one. So maybe my prediction, you know, is part of that doubt that Kirby used as fuel to the fire. But I think that, I would take Texas to win this one. There's something about this Georgia team that I think that they ride such – Kirby says that they don't. But they may not ride an emotional roller coaster, but this season has been a roller coaster. Right now, I think the roller coaster is up after, you know, having won an emotional game on Friday. A lot of that game was down. I think that we're going to see a little bit of down here before they go into the playoffs. And so I would take Texas 24, Georgia 21. You know, I think that you look at, you know, the Longhorns, Quinn Ewers isn't 100%. Isaiah Bond isn't that, you know, that Gunnar Helm has been a really good player for them. Obviously we just talked about Kelvin Banks and he's not healthy, but I think that they do a really good job of running the football. I think that Georgia has struggled to defend the run. Now it's a different style of run, but I think that Texas is a physical, tough physical team built for the SEC. Even in year one of being in the SEC, I think that Georgia's offensive operation is going to be cleaner. But I think that ultimately, you know, it's going to be hard for Georgia to play as well up front as it did last time to produce sacks, to produce turnovers, to stop the run in the same way. So I think the embarrassment that was the last game motivates Texas in this one, just like Georgia came into that one with motivation about the doubt that everyone had for them. I think the doubt, that is created in anybody's mind because of Texas's last game against Georgia. I think that Texas wins this one 24-21.
I it's funny. I disagree overall, because I disagree with the roller coaster analogy, because I think they're down. I think they're embarrassed by how they played defense against Georgia Tech. I think they, I don't think the roller coaster's up. I think they're happy they won that game, but they were happy they won the Mississippi State game prior to going into the Texas game. And you kept hitting on something that I think is, I don't care what Kirby says about this team to us, because I know it's probably dishonest, at least in some way. You're just not going to put the team's business out there like that. But, you know, Georgia came into that last one and everybody said, oh, yeah, got no chance in Austin because they're going to go bombs away on us, just like Mississippi State did. Texas didn't do anything in the pass game, hardly. I mean, very little. Not until, you know, kind of it started racking up pass yardage in the fourth quarter and, you know, a little bit in the third. This time everybody's coming in and you're saying it. You know, I don't think Georgia can stop the run. And I get it. The last couple of weeks have been kind of ugly as far as stopping the run. A lot of quarterback run. Honestly, the common denominator the past 2 weeks is can't finish runs when you bottle up at the line of scrimmage. You're bottling stuff up and it's turned into 30, 40-yard gains because it's bouncing out. You're tackling the football instead of the player. I think Georgia's run defense will be very focused. I think Georgia being in a different environment without the crowd noise and those things is going to be good for them. I don't think they're going to shell shock Texas at all, but I love Georgia's defense to bounce back. I like Georgia getting the double-digit win. I'm going to take Georgia 27-17.
Yeah,
I really like this team. I like the offense to help the defense out a little bit in this one, and I think that when it comes down to it, I just don't see Texas sustaining offensive success based on what I have seen: Georgia game, Vanderbilt game, Arkansas game, Kentucky game, and A&M game. Since then, I just don't see Texas sustaining the offensive success to put a bunch of points up on Georgia. But I can see Georgia in that building where they have played really well against everybody but Alabama and Joe Burrow's Tigers. I think Georgia gets them in that building. All right, guys, we appreciate it. We love you. We thank you. We'll see you after the game on Saturday. Rusty and I are scratching and clawing. If you are a Dogs HQ Plus member, it has been an incredibly tough week to get 20 minutes to record any fresh information because it's outdated.
What could that possibly be, Jake? There's nothing going on, right?
National Signing Day, man. It's so tough to get together for 20, 30 minutes and make something happen.
What was your thought on signing day in the middle of that? SEC championship week, because it was obviously different.
Yeah, it can get on a monorail straight to hell as far as I can understand. Yeah, it can get on a monorail straight to Satan's backyard. I'm done with it. I don't want to ever want to do that again. It's ridiculous. I feel like it's really hurt our SEC championship coverage and stuff like that, and it's a wonderful event, and I think it should be covered better. So it's been tough to have National Signing Day this week, but hey, listen, I don't work. I haven't for a long time. This is something I do every day, and I'm lucky enough to get to do it every day. So we appreciate everybody. We thank you for watching. We'll be back with you after the show, and we're going to try to get that Dogs HQ Plus in this afternoon. But if we don't, we'll make it up to you next week. Y'all take it easy.